Hallelujah, Jesus. Hundoskoya tesoa. Hurendala for beskeleto eske. Hunenoma karaso hesa. Uchokesa. As you continue to edify yourself, don't you know that you're building yourself up in me? Edoase. Hando demose. Huskodesa. For those mysteries that you're praying, they eventually become part of your understanding process that you can walk in them. This I have to just say because it's too long. I was marveling at his wisdom for a moment, and I get to share it for a second then. The wisdom that I'm marveling at, that he found a way to pull us in, to edify us, to even teach us, to build us up. He found a way to do that even when we're occupied with other things. And like Tim said something, he says, about the only time you can't pray in tongues is when you're chewing gum. Just think, when you're preoccupied doing something else, a lot of your jobs tolerate it. Mine did. But I sit the mill. So can you imagine him accomplishing something when you're hardly even involved with it? I mean, how much does he love you anyway? Do we want more proof? And he says, and Jude, you know, Jude says, look, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. How might that be? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Then in the next verse, he talks about its keeping power. Is he keeping you in the love of God? See? So think. He slipped it in us on such a way that he doesn't even let us in on what he's praying until we're ready. He likes to build you up above the problem, then let you look at it. 3 his eyes. And when you see it through his eyes, then you see it different. It's not tolerable anymore. You're not going to leave it there anymore. When you see it through his eyes, you go, oh my God. See, but then he's brought you to the place where you can move it out. I mean, he does all this. I mean, not even letting us in on it. You know, one of my favorite scenarios is that parable I created about the angels, Michael and Gabriel and all of them that have a portal that's their television set, and they can tune it into any family room in America. Worldwide, actually. So they tune it into your house. And they say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray in tongues about getting that Mercedes I've been believing for. I'm praying tongues about it. Gabriel just starts laughing. Says, look, I told you guys when I found a good program, I'd tell you. And so Gabriel and all of them, they come. They're watching. He's praying in tongues, and they're all just laughing and laughing. He said he thinks he's getting a new Mercedes, and God thinks he should quit yelling at his wife. So he doesn't even let us in on it until we're ready. Now tell me, is that someone that loves you? That is someone who loves you.
For
you'll hear this one and that one say, oh, God is beginning to move. This is because you're coming to a place where even corporately, that I get to move faster in what you're accomplishing by the faith that you're giving me. For the same time I'm edifying you and building you up, I'm also increasing the strength of you to me as my family. So be strong, for many of these things are laid on foundation, who were previously part of foundation, to make the foundation strong enough that I might put something on it that will never go away. So be strong and continue, and you'll think, oh, things are speeding up. That's because I'm finding what I need to move faster, more quicker with. So rejoice and be glad, for you, even though Satan is infuriated, and he's looking for new schemes that he can pull on you to lead you astray. But remain strong, for he knows that even in this operation, his time of effectiveness is growing shorter and shorter. Oh, I like that one. Whew. Hey, boys, clear no market. How many of you are looking for a job? If you're looking for a job, how would you like to find one? If you're looking for a job, stand up where you're at. I didn't ask you if you wanted to work. I was saying, no, I said, if it's necessary that you... No. How many knows when he finds what he needs to step into a situation? That's what he does. Even if he gets to call on, say, the gift of faith, it's in the gifted stage, it overrides ours. And usually there's more involved, but yet it's still the gifting and part of the nine that equips ministry. Somebody write down that we want to have a hand show about two months from now. 2 or 3 months, a hand show. Or at least 2 months. Of the people that found one. Now lift both those hands up. Father, I want to thank you for what you're visiting us with this morning. I want to thank you with all my heart. Oh, Father God. That this grace that's being added to this faith. And Father, I even saw it in the sense of override. Like, okay, I'll override this with the gifting. So Father, right now, the same way you move. And any gifting of the Spirit, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for every person who's looking for a job in this place has found one this morning. In Jesus' name, you received that. And for that, Father, I give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Well, you might as well have a party and get a cake and light candles and celebrate. This is the day I got a job. Hallelujah. It's so thick, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hear no maskish. Hey, I've got to just worship you a little bit more. You know, I remember last Sunday when I described somebody wanting the Holy Spirit and seeking and not. Anyway, it was He was sure after them strong. And of course, some come up that already spoke, but they got a lot of help too. And I got in my office and I was getting ready to go home, and a call came in or something. I don't know how it come about. And two people were on their way that drove from out of town. They're in a hurry to get here to receive the Holy Spirit, and they fitted the scenario all the way down the wire. So we got him in the office. He just fell out of heaven on them, and both of them just started, left new people. They were looking at each other saying, "What happened?" See, I mean, we don't suppose we just come here to meet with God. He wants to meet with us too. We're not cattle. I don't like to be herded in and out. If your friends don't come out, you know what happened to them. Listen, it just passed through me when I was standing up there. About the time I think I'm going to get to teach a little, at least I have another plan. Boy, you got to... We've had some of the greatest teaching in the world about who we are, where this is going, and why. Then Alan comes in, starts an early class series on how to stay on the path in the meanwhile. Well, you're going to have to get that one this morning. I don't think anybody could repeat that one back. You just have to get it, staying on the path. Tremendous. Escoleta. Oh, yes, sir. See, as He loves you so much, every meeting with God, every service should have, you know, meeting you, us with Him and truth, and then Him with us, you know. We should have that's a whole service, you know. God gets to do what He wants to. He doesn't equip you all your life to do nothing. Well, what's your goal? To make a faithful tithe payer out of you? My foot. On this one, He wants to touch you. Well, you need a little help, because the devil's kind of built himself a nest that he thinks he can visit any time he pleases. Problem is, he carries with him a whole lot of torment when he's on board. I mean, bad, bad torment. Like, I don't know if I can take this again. Well, hey. I mean, he's letting 3,000 or 4,000 people just sit here and twiddle their thumbs and wait while He ministers to you. Said, "You got that figure wrong." "No, not by faith, I didn't." Come. Say, "Why is He going to set me free?" "Because He loves you." This keeps interfering with what He has for you to do. You've been called since a little girl. Oh, when I say that, you were called from the foundations of the world, but it was always been on you. Today, things are changing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Devil, you're not just going to leave her alone when she's in here. You're going to leave her alone out there, because she'll see to it. You're whole. is broke. Jesus' name now. Marcos Kisi. Do you know what I just saw? When those many flashes, a construction crew come in and start repairing the damage. Four. When I move this way, this is an opportunity for you to learn and be used. For when you decide, make it the decision to flow with me in these things that I do, you'll be able to flow more fluently in what I have you to do. For you have authority. You have faith. Used to, I thought I was a rock, an island. Why do I need two people to agree on this thing? Said I could say to the mountain, why do I need two or more? And I found out he alerts people and he sets them on things for you at times that you couldn't even fit in your schedule. Like it's in India as day and night ministry almost. Miss Daisy picked the bomb up in the spirit, diffused it through intercession. Then they found it in the meeting afterwards, and it did not go off. Come on. You remember when he was talking at the beginning of the service about the reason he's escalating? It's not because just suddenly he says, oh, I think I'll save a whole lot more people this decade. Just why, God? I feel like it. He found something he could move on with. And what I understand, it's a corporate move. So he's moving forward. So there's quite a wave coming. But I saw a wave that wasn't as big as that one, but it ran out ahead and it submerged you. What do you think you feel so close to something that you're looking for? Huh? See? One day you'll be so glad you showed up in the door. I meant reward-wise in the end. So, this submerged you. So, Boy, did you get doused in his power and doused in what he has. And guess what? Somebody said, you think God will use me? Use you? He will work you to death. You know the things that you slip into when you've gone, oh, I wonder. Oh, God, what it would be like to be used like that. Well, guess what? So this I can tell you, with the compassion that's been establishing itself, the miracles and the things is just not going to have anything. So Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, so the it looks like that wave is going to kind of submerge you in something. You can get ready. Jesus' name, Father. Yes. It's all He's going to show me. God has never said so much about family. Of course, we wouldn't have understood it before. And to my knowledge, I've never been anywhere or heard more about the love of God than I've heard these past few years. When He says, First Corinthians 12, about covet only the best gifts, let me show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, it changed chapters, but not thought. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. A lot of them will use that verse to say you can pray in tongues all you want. If you don't love people, it ain't going to do you any good. Wrong. Yeek. This is what it's saying. There's people that speak with tongues and they're still mean. Mean, unforgiving. But you can't habitually establish yourself in prayer. Stay that way. When He said, look, covet earnestly the best gifts, but I can show you a more excellent way. And by the time He's done with the chapter, He said, if you go after the love of God with the same audacity, that's just by letting Him work. Then you found a more excellent way. See, I want things that heaven wants. See, men have 100 sheep and one goes astray. He hunts for it, hunts for it, till he finds it. And there's more joy in the presence of the angels over the one guy than the 99 who knew him. What does that say? I know why I'm here. I would have liked to just went home when I got born again and glorified. That'd be a snatch away. You don't get them born again, they're snatched away. That's not the way the whole thing works. It can't. So the reason we're here is because people that are not saved are here. And He's got nowhere else to get people except through what He created in the procreation. And nevertheless, are the woman 10 pieces of silver? Lost one? She searched and searched. And call her friends and have a celebration. Why? Over one person that was found. Well, one of the reasons for Paul's thorn, he couldn't snatch you away to utopia, some deserted island where they have angels fan you all day long and drink picadas or something. The worst that Hell has a place tied up, and the freer we can walk into it to get it set free, the louder heaven rejoices. So we got left here with the part of our family that doesn't know it. This is what we get to do. So Paul, you know, it was real interesting because God says, look, my grace is sufficient whether you think it is or not. In those things, he had to learn something, and he did. The best part I learned out of what he learned is in the middle of those things, I mean, I'm not going to hide in my house. I'm going to go where they're at. But in the middle of these things, Paul says, look, in the middle of distresses, perplexity, he says, I don't care. He says, he's already proved to me his grace is sufficient, so I don't care what they do. They give him the 39 lashes 5 times, broke all the bones in his feet 3 times, and had 3 ships sink out from underneath him. Is your day like that? He said, I take pleasure in distresses, perplexities, necessities. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong. So he learned this out of mingling with people who don't like you. And you're trying to get them saved. He wasn't taking pleasure in getting beat 5 times, save 1 stripe, 40. Jesus took that beating 1 time. He didn't like them beating, breaking every bone in his feet where they bound him in the stock, beat him with rods. He didn't like that. He needed his feet. He didn't like 3 ships going down under him, treading water a day and a night. I don't think he cared too much about any of that. But in the midst of it, he found the sufficiency of his grace, so much so it switches dependency off the flesh onto the spirit. When he's weakest, he's the strongest. The reason I'm interested in that, I was going down through the hospital to see Daniel. And they talked about a hospital, St. Jude, I think, that children. They were talking how brave the children were. They're going to die soon, but they're doing the exploration work in them, and they're so brave. And I was thinking about, where's the difference now from where we are now to empty in that hospital? Can't blame it on the children. Then when I would walk down through for emergency ICU or wherever they put you, to where you got to stabilize after the ambulance brings you in, walked in there and realized that all the equipment hooked up on all of them, if you just stepped into each room and got them healed, the main boards in the office would go crazy. They would go crazy because everybody would go normal. What are they going to do with that except call the news? We'll take it. I might take the beating too. See, so what I'm catching glimpses of is the steps between here and there. You know, men of God have just tore places up, boy, and miracles flowing in the crowd and everything, and they themselves terminate because of a disease they knew they were healed of but couldn't stop it. Now there's no condemnation there. I mean, we're not talking about any of that. There's probably nobody in this room can stand up and say, I've whipped everything that's come on my body. Some of them you outlasted, didn't you? So I knew that that grace that Paul was talking about there. You know how long John lived? It was 100 A.D. Long time. 67 years after Jesus' resurrection. He lived that long after. See that there's something in there. Something Paul found out about in that, with that grace in there somewhere. Well, in the suffering, no. He just found out how sufficient his grace was in it. There's something in there somewhere, not that. But there's a step to be taken in the Spirit that erases that in between. And we get to step over there. It's obviously not obvious because it's fairly seldom attained to, even in a century. So it's not really that real obvious. But the closer that I'm getting to the love of God, the more I'm understanding that door that's opening very slowly now. So if you ask me, am I excited? No. What am I being excited about? I'm more excited about this than things I've already seen. I've seen him do some really good miracles from time to time, but I am more excited about just the glimpse into that anointing, just the glimpse, than anything I've ever been excited about. So, he's trying to show me something. I'll catch up to it. I'm going to find it out. I don't know. In this world, with all my senses and everything we encounter every day, what it's going to take. But I don't care. Okay. That's like honey to my ears. It's not very big. It's what I'm looking for, though, I meant. If I'd have got to open this up and preach three or four scriptures, I'd have. Okay. Make sure this is in order. 4, 7. Make you feel better. See how safe you are. It's only the 5th page. 4. Look at 3. Half of it's missing. I changed my thought. I hit the delete eraser. Only one verse there. Gee. Are you ready? Brother Tim. I've been this. Brother Tim. I have been in this for a long time and still marvel at the love God has for his family. It was this revelation that Christianity is not a religion but a family that caused me to understand that the greatest attribute of this new nature is the unlimited capacity to both receive and to operate out of the love of God, not just towards the believer but towards the unbeliever. Also, John said it like this, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth not on him is not condemned. But he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I cannot help but look at the peoples of the world and think, we all have the same body, the same DNA that God used to create Adam with some 6,000 years ago. And the difference between us and them now is that we still have the same body, but now have a whole new nature. And because we all came from the same family, I can't help but look at the lost brothers and sisters of our family without thinking that the same way you would reach out for your own lost family members, had they been incarcerated under a death penalty, your wife or your children or your father, to rescue them, what do you think God would do? Do you think you would have to beg, scam, or make great swelling personal promises to people to get him to move with his inexhaustible supply of resources to rescue the lost sheep of his family? No. And being a family, if I were God and had to offer you a small fortune every time you gave to get you to help go after the lost members of our family, I don't think I would trust you with money. I don't even think I would want you aboard. That's it. Of course, the letter lacks 25 pages. Hallelujah. Your family was a waiting death row. What would you do? What would you hold back not to get them set free? He wants the lost part of his family saved more than we do. And there's nothing you'll hold back. Nothing. That's why one day we're going to make our journey through the hospital.